morning. Yes, good. Good morning. And welcome to our visitors. Hopefully you'll feel that it's a good warm welcome here. It's lovely to see lots of familiar faces. A brief thing about, it's not all about me, by the way, but just a brief thing about my own personal story of becoming a Christian. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. My dad's Hindu and from Mauritius. My mum's Irish. She's a Catholic from Dublin. So two immigrant parents, grew up in Chessington. Yes. Don't confuse it. Around the age of 17, I got interested in playing bass guitar. I wasn't very good, but I was involved in a band. And one of the guys in the band was a guitarist, and it turned out he was a Christian. And one day I wanted to rehearse on a Sunday, and he says, actually, I'm quite busy on a Sunday. I go to a church. And that sparked off a few questions. And over a period of a few months, walking home together from Kingston College for further education, I would ask him quite a few questions about his faith. Questions about sex, questions about, what happens when you die, questions about is there a real God. And one day he invited me to a meeting, and someone was standing at the front like I am here now, and I sat there, and I and the guy spoke about Jesus being in a crowd, and there was a woman who had a terrible problem, and she reached out to the hem of Jesus' garment and grabbed hold of it, and something happened that changed her. Now, I was sat in that crowd, and it was as if a doorway to eternity opened up in my perception, and I thought to myself, I have got nothing to lose. I just have nothing to lose here. I didn't really know what was going on, of course, but I thought, I have nothing to lose. And at that stage, I'd had a number of sin adventures, doing things my own way, doing the kind of things normal teenage guys do, and by that time, the taste of sin and its consequences, I was sick of it. And there was something about Jesus that just stood out, and I thought, I really want this. Now, I don't know what happened, but I do now. I basically became a new person that day, and over a period of, I've been a Christian for over 30 years now, and in that time, there have been a number of faith adventures. So in the early days, it was like, this book, the Bible, has all sorts of stuff recorded that Jesus tells us and through his apostles. And I was reading it, and I was responding to it. And I suddenly had this live connection with God. So there were a number of things I'd be praying for. So I'd be praying such and such a thing would happen. I'd be praying, and then there'd be an answer to prayer. And it would all be tying in with how I understood the Bible teaching about God. But here's the thing. At certain points, and looking around the room, some of you are not young faith spring chickens. You will know this because you've been around the block a bit. That there are times where what we read in the Bible, what we believe to be true, does not connect with our experience. And it's clear that on a joyful day like today, where we're celebrating this beautiful girl, there are people who find it hard to come to church, and I count myself as one of those. There were a time where I went through a time where we were childless, and just coming to church was hard because there were so many children around. Now, people were saying to us, well, you need to pray more, or you need to ask the Lord and he will. Now, the thing is, that prayer was never answered because we adopted a little boy, which has turned out to be a wonderful story. But for years, there was great sadness. And there are other issues where it's as if your relationship with God is so alive and wonderful, and yet there's so much which doesn't seem to tie up. And for some people, that's a reason why they leave church. And for others, they go in a sort of a weird kind of parallel existence where they come along to church and they want to believe these things, or they do believe these things, but their experience can be so sort of uneven. Now, this passage this morning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, speaks into that in a very particular way. I've spent a bit of time thinking about it, and as I have done, some of it has opened up. Now, I hope to share that with you this morning. So the passage is this. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to get us into it. So here we go. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy. and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." That passage has a number of very, very tricky moments in it, and there's a lot going on. And I'm going to spend about 15 or so minutes talking through some of it. To get us in, let's just use some numbers to help us, okay? So four, what's the football thing? 4-4-2. Well, we've got 4-1-2-0. There you go. This is how we get in. There are four observations about this passage we'll take you through, okay? There's one question which I think the Holy Spirit has brought this passage to us over 21 centuries, has brought this passage to us, and I think there's one question he's asking of us this morning. There are two mindsets, and then there's a zero at the end. Now, for those of you who are still paying attention, let's see if you can figure out what the zero is, okay? That's a little kind of magic trick I'm doing there, isn't it? I'm like leaving a little puzzle for the kids at the end. We'll see if we can unlock that and give you a free croissant from Breakfast Church, which was left over. It's semi-stale right now, but we've kept it on a fridge somewhere near some dust. Okay, here's the four observations. Observation number one. I want you to notice the anxiety and frustration and maybe a bit of anger from the dad of this child, okay? This man says, Lord, he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't heal him. Now, I'm not going to comment. I'm not a medical expert. I see Naomi Wormsley's at the back. She is a medical expert. And there are a number of others here who understand about seizures. And I'm not even a spiritual expert, so I don't understand about demon possession. But I am a parent, and I have been a high school teacher for nearly 30 years, so I have met a lot of frustrated parents, so I can talk about that. Think of the picture that this man is coming to Jesus, and think about what his face looks like. There are two layers of frustration here. One layer is, his home life is horrible. What should be a wonderful experience with this child, this son, is actually terrible. Because this child has got burns on his arms, burns on his legs. There are probably times where, am I competing with children here? It's like a hilarious sort of moment. Like, oh, the preacher won, yay. preacher won, child nil. But here's, you know, there are times where they've left the child and the child, they've come back and they've had to rescue the child from near drowning. Now, this is the situation this guy's in. He lives in a tragic situation. What should be a wonderful child-rearing home, where they have this beautiful child who's growing, is marred by a sense of tragedy and of sadness. Now, that's one layer for him. But there's another layer which is even worse. Some well-meaning disciples of Jesus have bumped into him at some point. Maybe they knocked on his door. Maybe they bumped into him at the co-op or wherever. And in their eyes was a sense of hope and joy. They said, look, Jesus has given us this promise. We can heal people. Let us heal your son. And the man, with all his heart, regret, and all his sadness, he sees the series. He realizes they're not con men. He thinks, yes, there is something here. And his heart, his hopes have been lifted. And now they've been crushed because the disciples haven't been able to do anything. Now, there are a number of us in this room who know this situation. Well-meaning Christians who have lots of faith and believe a certain thing is going to happen and it connects with something which is very important and very heavy for us and it hasn't worked out. And some of us here have lived through that. Now, this passage records this incident of failure for our benefit and there's something in it. So that's the first thing I want you to notice, the man's frustration. Second thing I want you to notice is this. Jesus sorts it out and there's no semi-sorting it out. It's just on, off, unfixed, fixed. There is an absolute in this world. Now, if at this point you just fall asleep or you feel overwhelmed by the day's events and you shut off entirely, just take this one thing. There's other good stuff in it, by the way, but just take this one thing. In this world of frustration, ultimately, there is one who can take our problems and our issues and can resolve them. Now, you may not see that in this lifetime, but you will see it one day. And it's Jesus. I needed to know that as an 18-year-old. You need to know that. Whatever else is going on in this world that's so uneven, Jesus is finally the answer. We can say that. Not some philosophy, not some pattern or path you have to walk down. Jesus Christ himself. He is the answer. And here, there is no messing around. He solves the problem. It's just final. So that's important. So if you shut down, now's your opportunity. But stay with us. There's good stuff coming up. The third thing I want to show you is this. Third thing to notice is the disciples come to him with this problem. It raises the issue. You know, you said, Jesus, we could go out and do this. We tried to. It didn't work out. Why? Why could this not work out? Now, it might be that there's someone here who is young in the Christian faith and you haven't got to that point yet. It's all still wonderful. And that's great. And I encourage you to continue. But there will come a point where you will be faced with failure or confusion or things are uneven. And at that moment, when you fall down those cracks, a passage like this speaks into it. So what happens with that? So that's the next thing. And then there's a final fourth observation. And for me, as I was preparing this, and I had to take a bit of a deep breath because it's quite a hard sentence to get around, there is a fourth observation. Now, is anyone in the congregation willing to point out what that sentence is? Now, you're not allowed to because you were here for breakfast church. Cheating. Would Uncle Bob Bond be able to tell me what it is with his amazing northern accent?
No, shut up.
He is an our elder statesman, and yet he's wrong. And I have to point that out now. Isn't that... What am I going to do? I am going to get to that, but it's not the line I was thinking of. And there's no way of disguising it because these slides are fixed. Whatever happens now, we are going there though, Bob. Does anyone else want to tell me what it is? Which bit is it? You can't bypass it. Do you know what it is, Antoinette? One of our elders can't spot it. What's the thorny sentence? Go on, Matt. You know. Oh, dear. It's this one. That's why I've done it in red. This is very harsh. I mean, you can't not notice that. I mean... Certainly you did, Bob, but in your maturity and generous, you've moved past it. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Now, let's just say this. He's not saying that to the man. This is a statement to the disciples, and actually it's picking up on a wider relationship with faith in that generation. And it's something that does crop up at other points in Matthew's gospel. We can't bypass that. Now, some people have this idea that Jesus is like a personal trainer, a life coach who's giving us nice advice, you know, for improving. Hey, get a bit of Jesus, you know, he'll help you. He'll jog along with you in his little Adidas sort of tracksuit bottoms and help you with your... No. This points out that Jesus is actually quite angry about something and he's pushing this home. He is more than just simply some guy who's just spiritually counselling us and pushing us along. There is something he's very upset about. And that brings me to my one question of the passage. I don't know if you know much about how the Bible was recorded, but this text was supervised by the Holy Spirit in history by specific writers. And through a number of wonderful, miraculous events across history, it's actually found itself here in our language in a way we can understand for us to read now. And that means that from the original days right through to now, God himself, the Holy Spirit, is here now and he's brought this passage to you and to me. And he has something he's going to ask us. And the question he's going to ask us is related to this one. Why couldn't we drive it out? And the question I believe that the Holy Spirit is asking us this morning is this. How do you make sense of when something you believe to be true in the Christian faith doesn't tally with reality? How do you make that sense? And I'll just say to you this, whether you're an elder statesman or whether you're someone who's 16 years old, making that connection will be a part of your growth as a mature Christian. And it's an important one because otherwise you're in Teletubby land where you just say stuff and stuff happens. Actually, the real world is much more complex, and this is where I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. So I'm going to ask him to help us, okay? So I'm going to just pray briefly and then move on. So if you join me for a second. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage, and I just pray now that you'd help us to step into a clear understanding of this. And I pray you'd minister to our hearts and help us. And for those who don't know you, I pray that something in this would be intriguing and helpful. Amen. Right, so let's have a look at this. So that's the question. Here's how he answers it initially. Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Well done, Bob. You did pick up on the right one. Now, when I read that, as an 18-year-old Christian who's brand new and hasn't grown up as a Christian, when I read that, this is what I think of. I go into Harry Potter mode. I suddenly think, wow, God's real. And he's saying, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, and he is saying it. He is saying this. He says, that mountain, that impassable situation, you can say to it, move, and it will be gone. Now, as a 18-year-old Christian, full of the joy of this brand new worldview, this is very powerful. Now, I wonder, I just ask you this question. I wonder if any of you here have actually seen mountains move. A few furrowed brows, but a few that aren't, because some of you will know situations which have actually significantly moved, and you have seen God do this. But many haven't. And here's the problem. I am able, as a person, to read this passage and treat it like it's Harry Potter. And this is why Jesus is saying what's perverse. There is a way of thinking about the Christian message that treats it like it's an attachment to me, like it's a Harry Potter magic spell that I can just use for my own purposes. And so let's just put to this passage here. Let's just I'm going to just teach a main thing here. A growing, maturing follower of Jesus is moving between two mindsets. Mindset one is you believe that there's a God of spells, like a God who's like a charged up gym card membership who gives you something that you can activate. So here I am, I'm a Christian, I believe this, you know, maybe I'm unemployed, or maybe I'm childless, or maybe I'm facing something as awful as cancer, or there's something terrible in my life. It feels like a mountain, and here's Jesus' promise. He says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can pray and this thing will go. So I sort of apply that. So I think, oh, it's like the Hakuna Matata spell or whatever Avra-Kedavra spell that Harry Potter gets. Oh, Harry, here you go. Here's a special wand which has got the nostril hair of a unicorn in it or something. And you could just take that spell and you can use it in some special way and then, oh, it will work. Now, that's how I was thinking as a young Christian. I thought, yes, there's this thing I can use. But then when it doesn't work out, you're thinking, and sometimes it does work out, so you're thinking, yes, I'll do it more. But sometimes it doesn't, and you're thinking, oh no, is it because I didn't pray it right? Had I not spoken it in the right way? Had I done something wrong that day that got in the way? Is God angry at me? Has he changed his mind about me? That's the mindset one. Now, a mature Christian needs to learn to move from that mindset to a different one. And this is why Jesus calls that a perverse thing, because it makes God as a sort of extension of your will. Now, sometimes he does answer prayer in that way, which is wonderful, because he accommodates us in our immaturity. But a true mature Christianity goes this way. A mature Christian moves to the mindset where your heavenly Father reveals that he's got you and you can lean into him. He says, I know you. Before you were created, I knew you. That passage from Jeremiah. Or is it Psalm 139? I can't remember. That beautiful passage. You know, I know you. Even before your mum and dad got friendly. That was inappropriate, by the way. But wonderful. Before they got friendly, I knew you were going to come along. I could see all those little chromosomes or whatever, the DNA things that are happening. I knew all that. I knew it. I invented it. I could see that. I knew it all. I knew the first day when you would cut your knee when you were at school. I knew what would happen when you got... I could go on, but you get the idea. I know this. And he also reveals to us something about how much he loves us through Jesus. So he says, you can lean into me. I won't actually do it here. I won't get Matt to do it because I'm quite heavy and I'll crush his bones. But I could just lean back and he would catch me. But while you lean into the Father and trust that he's good, you look at Jesus and you say, do you know what? I'm confident God will hold me because God himself came into the world as a person. He incarnated into the Son of God. He lived this life that was perfect, so full of compassion and kindness. A perfect life. A life where if you were to say, what value is that life? You could say, this life credits you as head boy of the universe, Jesus. This is the badge you earn for that life. It's a perfect life. And Jesus says, you see that merit that I've gained through my perfect life? I'm going to give that to you, Christian. I'm actually going to give my merit to you. So you walk around with the badge of honor that because you're in Christ, you are credited with the same righteousness as Jesus, which is incredible. And not only that, I will take the sins of your life and I will destroy them on the cross while being destroyed myself. So I'll take off your bad and I'll give you my good. So it's like not just sin taken away, but our righteousness zoomed up to 100%. At the same time. Now, when we look at that, we can trust that God will hold us because we know we can lean into him as we look to Jesus. Now, this is the second mindset. Now, my question to you is this. How do those two mindsets feel? How do they feel? Mindset number one, the Harry Potter magic spell mindset, it's exciting, but it's fragile. Depending on how your day is going or your life is going, you could be crumbling away or you could be saying, oh, it's been really exciting, but it's kind of a bit up and down. If circumstances go bad, if you lose your job, if your health goes bad, if something terrible or tragic happens to you, you can feel really terrible and it can be up or down. How does this mindset feel on the right-hand side? Well, ultimately, because he's done everything for you, and because you can lean into him, you might be going through the worst time of your life, but you can remain calm and secure in the grip and the warmth of the Heavenly Father's hand. Now, I know some of you here sat now need to know that, because some of you are going through the toughest times you've ever faced. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. He does love you because you look to Jesus and you lean into the hands of the Father because he cares for you. And it doesn't depend on you. Now, that still doesn't help us out with that faith question. Let's go back to this. Has anyone figured out what the zero's about? Yes. And by the way, I love your T-shirt. Yes. The mountain has been taken away. The zero is the mountain. Let me just point this out to you. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Before I was a Christian, I wasn't aware of this, but before I was a Christian, I was just like kind of blind to all of this. I wasn't aware that there was a mountain that would keep me out of eternity with God. It was all the things I'd ever done, all the things I'd inherited. It was all against me and my relationship with God was blocked. There was a mountain in the way. And when Jesus came along, because of what he did for me on the cross, crediting me his righteousness, but also taking away my sins and turning away the anger of God, God's holiness standing in the way for me, because he did all of that for me, this mountain was lifted. And there I was at church, at that Christian meeting, and some guy said to me, Jesus promises you eternal life. And as I sat there as a 18-year-old who didn't know my backside from my elbow, I just looked at it and I thought, yeah, I can lean on that. There's something about that. And my faith was like a mustard seed. And you see what happened there? My faith of a mustard seed, he just took that. And it wasn't anything in me. I just simply trusted him. And this mountain was removed. And from that point on, my adoption papers were sealed with God for eternity. This is the promise in the Bible. Those who look to him and trust him have eternal life. And this is a message which the Christians have been saying for 20 centuries now and will continue saying till he returns. Lean on him and he will bring you in. Now, where does that leave us with the final bit? The final bit is this. You and I are facing all sorts of issues. And I need to speak carefully here because I've already had one woman in tears today. That's a gift I have, by the way. It's a weird gift. Many of us in this room are not in the triumphant, jubilant state that others are. Now, that's just the way church is. All of us go through all sorts of different things. So one lady this morning in Breakfast Church spoke about how her brother died of cancer, and it took her a number of years to come to terms with that, and she's still processing it. Now, she's not walking around dancing and singing, you know, in some weird Teletubby state. She's someone who deals with significant pain in her life. But she said something remarkable this morning, and it was this. As she looks to Jesus and all that he has done for her, and as she leans into the hands of the Father, even though her brother has gone, even though she has to deal with that loss, she's confident that something better is happening, and the Father has the best interests at heart. Now, we may not be able to solve your issue as a church. We love to encourage you. And for those of you who are part of our church community, we want to meet with you and to love you and to care for you. But listen to this. You need to remember that you may not see a solution to your problems in this life, but you will always have the hand of the Father around you, because he has proven in history and time and space that he loves you and has given you everything. He has removed a mountain. You are adopted and nestled into his presence, and he will always hold you. This is a confident promise in the Bible. This is not Jason Ramaswamy speaking. This is a passage in the Bible speaking. So when you go through those up and down times, can I encourage you to remember the feeling difference between the mindset one and the mindset two? And can I ask you to encourage you to lean into the Father? He's done everything for you.